Our second scripture reading is Acts chapter 22 through 24, and then Acts chapter 4, 23 through 28. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and then chapter 4, 23 through 28. Let us hear God's word. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then from chapter 4, 23 through 28. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. May the Lord our God bless to our hearts the reading of his holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now to your word. You have fed us with the bread of the earth, but Heavenly Father, now we hunger for the bread of heaven. We hunger for your word. We pray that through the Holy Spirit you would bring glory to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure that the image of soldiers and tanks and helicopters is all on our minds this morning. Yet we have to admit that though there are soldiers, there are those who are driving the tanks, those who are flying the helicopters and the planes, they're responsible for what they do, but yet there is someone behind the scenes directing them. They're not directing themselves. They have gotten their orders from the general. The general is telling this group, move forward. This group, go here. This group, go back there. Like a theater performance. You see the actors, but the director is behind the curtain. And he is making sure that everything plays out exactly according to his plan. Well, such is your life and my life. Such is all of history. The scriptures are very clear that behind the judgments of men, the actions of men, our sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ, controls all things. As the psalmist says, as the writer of the Proverbs says, that the king's heart, the kings of the earth, they are in the palm of Jesus Christ. And Jesus directs them as a water course in the way he would have them go. We see this all through Scripture. When you look at the story of Samson, Samson wanted a Philistine wife. His parents were not too pleased with that. But then we find this little footnote there in the Scriptures, that even though the parents objected to it, they did not realize, they did not know that this was God's way to deal with the Philistines. Also, we have the example of Pharaoh. Scriptures again are very clear that God raised Pharaoh up for the very purpose so that God could display his power and his glory to many people. Though people are responsible, that's true. Yet, God is the director. God is the general. And such is your life. Such is all of history. Many are the plans in a man's heart, yet it is the Lord's will, it is the Lord's counsel that ultimately prevails. We have many plans. We have many schemes. Yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ directs us here or directs us there. And many times we're not even aware of it. Jesus Christ, He is the Lord God. He is the Sovereign One. He is the great director over all the events that take place in heaven and on earth. And the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. There has never come a time when the Father and the Son and the Spirit sat down and said, "You know, I'm really perplexed about this. What do y'all think? What should we do? Oh, they did this. What are we going to do now?" No. From all eternity, before the first molecule was ever created, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had a plan. They were in control. And their plans stand firm forever. The purposes of their heart through all generation. Jesus says, "Not a hair falls from your head outside the will of God." And the scriptures, as the scriptures describe the triune God, we have God our Father, God the Son, our brother, God the Spirit, who is our comforter. You see, all those terms imply intimacy, love, care. So this triune God who controls all things, even what's happening in Ukraine, this God who controls all things to His glory is also doing it for the good of His people. Even the devil belongs to God. And God uses sin sinlessly. He uses unrighteousness in a righteous way. He uses unloveliness in a loving way, all to accomplish His holy and loving will. Now, having said all that, I want to ask you a question. Having said all that and understanding all that, how then should we interpret the sufferings of Christ? How should we interpret the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Is Christ a helpless victim? Is Christ a helpless victim? Or, as He hangs on the cross, is He still the omnipotent King, controlling all things? Well, the Apostle Peter does a good job of explaining this to us. In Acts chapter 4, he's quoting from Psalm 2. He says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and His anointed one. But He that is in the heaven laughs and says, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." What Peter means is that wicked men, evil men, they conspire to plot to destroy God's kingdom, to destroy God's plan. But God's plan is served by what they do. He uses what the wicked do to accomplish His redemptive purposes. Let me explain this a little bit further. Remember when you were in kindergarten and the teacher said, "Now put on your thinking cap." All right, here's your time. Put on your thinking cap. On the night He was betrayed, Christ was bound with ropes and chains there in the Garden of Gethsemane when they arrested Him and led Him to the temple court. How interesting it is that as Satan, in the form of a serpent, slithered his way into the garden to tempt Adam and Eve. Well, Satan is slithering into another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, there to tempt the second and last Adam, Jesus Christ. But Jesus is not taken by surprise. They didn't catch Him off guard. What we actually see here is a type or a shadow that is presented in the Old Testament. When God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, God said, "Now you go to Mount Moriah." And when they arrived there, the scripture says that Abraham bound his son, his only son, and was getting ready to sacrifice him. But God intervened, and there was a ram caught in the thorns. And that ram was offered as a sacrifice instead of Isaac. Now the temple where Jesus is being led, guess where it was erected? Guess where it was built? It was built on Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham offered the sacrifice of the ram. So here we have Jesus, God's only son, in a sense God's Isaac, bound for the sacrifice. And at the same time, we have Jesus here who is bound and caught as the substitute ram. He is bound and caught in the thicket of the ropes and the chains. And it will be by His blood that we will be healed. But understand this, that the game plan all along is not to present Jesus as a helpless victim. Christ could have easily broken the ropes, just as Samson broke the ropes that bound his hands. The chains and the ropes on Christ could not hold him back. Chains and ropes cannot hold back omnipotence. Chains and ropes cannot bind omnipotence. Because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Nothing on this earth can restrain or bind omnipotence. Except omnipotence itself. Omnipotence can restrain omnipotence so that Jesus then goes to the cross and dies for us. Because you see, Jesus is not bound by ropes. Now, everybody standing there looking at Jesus would say, "Oh, He's bound by ropes." No, Jesus is not bound by the ropes and the chains. Jesus is bound, but He is bound by His love of God the Father. And He is bound by His love for you. Christ is bound. Omnipotence is bound. But omnipotence is binding omnipotence. Because He loves the Father and He loves those whom the Father has given to Him to redeem. Thus He yields Himself up to those. And it appears that Christ is powerless. It appears that he is powerless, but at the same time, he is still God Almighty. Even more, the use of swords and clubs demonstrate the complete lack of understanding as to who really is in control of all these events. Remember, Jesus said when he was threatened, he says that he has legions of angels that he can call upon at any moment to come and fight for him and rescue him, if that was the plan of the triune God. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that as the soldiers and the guards are binding Jesus with the chains and the ropes, the swords of the angels are at the throats of the guards. And all Jesus has to do is speak one word, and the angels will wipe out all that opposition. But instead, Jesus has planned that this be the hour of darkness, the short time where evil seems to reign. Listen again to the apostles' words. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Sovereign Lord, Herod and Pontius Pilate did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. The kings of the earth plotted to destroy God. They plotted to destroy the plans of God. But it was all in vain. And God brought to pass that which the triune God from all eternity had planned to bring to pass. And he did it in the face of Satan and wicked and evilness. Jesus says, "No man takes my life from me. I will give it up when I am ready." Before the hour that God had set for Jesus to be arrested and then crucified, it was folly to think that Pilate or the religious authorities or the guards or the soldiers could come and lead Jesus away. But when the appointed time that the triune God had decided for these things to happen, then it would have been folly to think that it wasn't going to happen. Because it was not they who were seizing Christ, but it was Christ who was seizing the moment. He was seizing the moment to become the sacrifice for sins. So in reality, you see, it was not the soldiers who were leading Jesus away. It was Jesus who was leading them. They were doing what Jesus had planned from all eternity to happen. Now was the time of darkness. Now was the power of darkness, the seed of the serpent. Now was the time that God allowed the seed of the serpent to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. But there will come a time when the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Oh, it's Friday. It's Friday. Jesus is suffering. He's on the cross. Such agony. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And like a hunter leads his prey into a trap, it seems like Christ is in the trap. No. Because this trap is designed to kill serpents. It's designed to kill your sin. Christ was not the prey in the trap. Christ is the hunter. And this trap was set for the destroying of the kingdom of darkness. This trap was set for the destroying of your sin. Jesus could have called upon legions of angels to protect him if that was his intention. But instead, his intention was to do what God the Father had asked him to do. His hands nailed to the cross was not a sign of weakness. It was a sign of strength, of omnipotence. It was a sign that Jesus was telling the angels, sheathe your swords, back down, because in this I will accomplish what needs to be done. He desires to be sacrificed. The soldiers are not in control. The religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, they're not in control. Pilate and the Roman government, they're not in control. The one who is suffering on the cross, he's the one that's in control. And everything will happen just as he and the Father and the Spirit have determined that things would happen. Jesus tells Pilate, you have no power over me unless it was given to you by myself. You would have no power to even touch me. To all that saw him, he seemed less than a man. To all who saw him, there was no greatness or dignity as to what they saw. All they could see was this lowliness, this poverty, this man who is obviously guilty. And he stands there with his head bowed, his hands bound, surrounded by armed men. He stands there ready to sink with weariness from the sufferings that he's already incurred, forsaken by his friends, looked upon as being cursed by God. But that's what human eyes would see, when in reality we see the sovereign King of the universe, omnipotence himself, restraining himself so that he does not act in immediate justice upon those who are sinning against him. Instead, omnipotence restrains omnipotence so that the plan of God is accomplished. It is his own consent to be plunged into the depths of sorrow. If he had revealed who he was, if he had not restrained his justice, we would all be lost. They beat him without reason, yet he restrained himself for the reason of love. The reason of love to God the Father, the reason of love to you. Pilate and the Jewish authorities only did that which God's own hand and counsel had determined would happen. Does this not melt your heart? That out of his agony comes your joy? Out of his condemnation comes your justification? Out of his pain comes your comfort? Out of his stripes comes your healing? Out of him becoming a curse and choosing to become a curse comes your blessing? Out of his crown of thorns comes your crown of glory? Out of his death comes your life? Though Jesus had the power to escape, Jesus also had the power to not escape. He had the power to stay on the cross and suffer. He chooses not to be released from his tormentors so that you would not be tormented in hell. Omnipotence bound by his love to God the Father, bound by his love for you. I pray that you would be bound by your love for him, that you would love him with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And as you look back over your life, you be thankful to God for his providence in your life. You might have had many plans, yet it has been the Lord's plan for you that has come to fruition. But most importantly, let us see and understand the love of God for us and how his plans stand firm forever. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that Christ offered himself up as a sacrifice for sins, and that through his power, his omnipotence, that he kept himself on the cross instead of escaping from his tormentors. That through his omnipotence, he submitted to suffering so that we would not have to. Oh, Father God, as we consider the work of Christ, give us a humble heart, a heart of thanksgiving for his sacrifice for us. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our